Welcome to the Morbid Anatomy Transmission. I'm your host, Molly McBride Jacobson. As maybe you can tell by the music, this is something new I'm trying. Short interviews and stories that fans of the Morbid Anatomy Museum might also enjoy. I'm calling them Petites Morts, or Little Deaths. I know my French is bad. As you might know, November 1st is Dia de los Muertos. In honor of that, I talked to Rosie Sharp, a Detroit-based artist who created an altar installation, and a frienda to the United States Post Office. Following the close of the exhibition, she had a really eerie experience that left her with a story that follows. I'll let her take it from there.
Well, I grew up in California, which obviously has a huge population of Mexican heritage or Mexican people, immigrants. And so growing up in the Bay Area, I was surrounded by that culture a lot. And since I moved away, I find myself sometimes the things that are comfort foods or things that I feel nostalgic for are rooted in, you know, sort of not traditional American culture. So I find myself wanting Vietnamese soup or burritos. And in particular, in Detroit, there's a neighborhood that's largely a Mexican population, and I like to go walk around there, and the smells and the colors and some of the sort of artifacts or the ways that people keep their yards really reminds me of home. And that becomes sort of intensified around De Los Muertos when people are putting out ofrendas, and there's a lot of community engagement with that practice. So the ofrendas are these memorials for people, usually people in your family who have passed away. But they also, the show at the Detroit Institute of Arts included the potential for more conceptual ofrendas. So I'm the last person, I think, on the planet who really loves the post office, and I go there all the time, and I think that it's a kind of miracle, actually. It's this sort of invisible system, and you can take a letter or an object, and you can write just a few kind of descriptive lines on it and place a piece of postage on it, and it will be conveyed to somebody anywhere in the world, like a specific person. It's sort of this piece of infrastructure that we take for granted, but it's really quite miraculous to me. And I love the idea of that connection, being able to reach out to people all over the world. And so I had this notion, you know, people characterize the post office as being a dying institution. And so I thought about making an ofrenda that was dealing with that. But then it also has a personal component to me because my grandfather, my mother's father, one of his jobs was working at the post office. He sorted mail at night. And so I thought I would also take it as an opportunity to commemorate my grandparents and also my great aunt Natalie, who's my grandmother's sister. Yes, so the Spirit Post is taking this idea of communication and extending it into a spiritual dimension. So it's a post office box that you can use to send postcards to dead people. It has a mail slot. I printed custom postcards specific to the installation, and they were sort of scattered all around the pedestal. And people, visitors to the exhibit, were invited to write communications to be sent to the spirit world. And then those were fed in through a mail slot into the sort of well of the piece, which looks similar to those kind of blue R2-D2-shaped mailboxes that you see on corners in cities. But then there was a display space as well that had figurines which represented my grandparents and my great aunt, and I had sort of drafted them as the workers of the Spirit Post. And they were there to help deliver the mail. I had printed 750 of these postcards, and my nightmare was that nobody was going to touch them, right? And I was going to come in and there would be no messages. But actually the opposite happened, and the exhibit ran out of postcards. So then I had to kind of come up with a second run very quickly. So in the end, I had more than 1,000 messages that people used the spirit post to send. I really struggled with what to do with the messages because it was like, they're not for me. These are messages that people were sending to other people. It is against the law, as we all know, to read other people's mail. And I felt that it was a private thing, and that I think people invested a lot of trust in me with their messages, and I tried to respect that. I did see one or two in passing when I was actually doing the work of putting the mail through the mail slot. And some of them were pretty intense. There were a lot from kids. You could just sort of see from the handwriting there were a lot from kids. But there were also some people who really took that as an opportunity to make some crucial communication, I think. I put them in the mailbox. So what happened was I had this idea that they would accumulate in the mailbox, and then at the end of the exhibit, which was a two-week run, I would bring them home and I would burn them, which seemed like a good way. You know, ofrendas are a temporary installation. They aren't meant to be permanent, so you make them and then destroy them every year. And so I thought burning the kind of vestiges of the mail would be a good way to close off those messages and maybe help send them on to the next world in a way, too. And what happened, in fact, was that the show came down, and it was a really busy moment, and I kind of just had all the stuff packed up in my attic, which is also my studio space. And then a week or two went by, and I was ready to deal with it in some way. I was cleaning up my studio, and I had this moment of doubt about getting rid of the postcards. And I wasn't going to read them per se, but I wanted to keep them. I didn't want to decide about it. And so I thought, I'll just put them back through the mail slot so they're sitting in the piece. I set the ofrenda back up again. I'll put them in there and they can be a part of the piece and I don't have to decide right now what I'm doing with it. And I did this, and this was a day or two before I was about to go out of town on a trip. And so I made that decision. I set the ofrenda back up, and then I left the attic for a couple of days, and I didn't think about it anymore. But a day or two later, I went into the attic to get my suitcase from the closet where I stored it up there, and something very intense had gone on in my absence. There's a little stairwell that goes up to the main floor of the attic, and as soon as I stepped into the stairwell, it was freezing cold. And I don't know if you've ever been in a car accident or had something traumatic happen to you, but there's this kind of shock that you go into where your expectations about a situation become really disrupted. And something about it for me, I just went completely on alert, like something was very wrong or not as I'd left it. And as I go up the stairs to the ofrenda, I see that there's kind of insulation and bits of the ofrenda are kind of strewn across the attic floor. And I realize that it's so cold there because a whole side window in the attic is gone, is smashed. And then I have this kind of spine-tingling moment where I realize that there's no rock and there's no bird, and in fact there's no glass because the window has been shattered from the inside out. And all of the glass has gone out the window. So it really seems as though this tremendous burst of energy shattered a side window of my attic. I should say that I have this kind of contradictory aspect to my nature, which is that I'm not sure if I believe in ghosts, but I am afraid of them. And So it seemed very clear to me, you know, how people sometimes get at the post office when they're impatient about getting their mail or doing their business. I had made a promise, and I was now holding all these dead people's mail And I took it as a pretty direct sign that that was an unacceptable situation. So out loud I said, okay, please don't kill me in my sleep tonight, and I will burn your postcards first thing in the morning, I promise. And in the morning, that is what I did before I went on my trip. I haven't had any subsequent disruptions. I have sort of learned my lesson about not creating a well of souls and then storing it in my attic, but I think my transgression was minor, probably in the grand scheme of eternity. The fact that these folks had to wait an extra week or two for their mail was, you know, they made their feelings clear, and I will respect that going forward. When you make a promise to a ghost, you should keep it. I found it tremendously moving how many people engaged with the mailbox. And I think for me, one of the driving impulses behind it is that I think everyone who has lost someone experiences that really simple but deep wish to be able to communicate with them again. And I felt like my piece tapped into something that's really at the heart of Dia de los Muertos, which is, it's an opportunity to do that, to kind of engage with the people who are no longer living as still a present part of your life. And I think that that's really profound. It's not, when somebody dies, it's much harder maybe to feel connected to them, but ultimately we still are. And whatever we've gotten from them and whatever we've given to them still exists in some form. And so I think it's really lovely how present death is a part of life in Mexican culture. And, you know, as opposed to in other sort of societies where it's very pushed to the side and sort of hermeticized and kept away from our day to day, when really it's one of the only kind of inevitable truths of life is that you're going to die, you know?
That's all for this petit moment. If you want to know more about Rosie and her art, you can go to sarahrosesharp.com. I'll be back soon with a regular transmission. Hopefully this will tide you over until then. But, as always, if you want to know more about goings on at the museum, you can visit morbidanatomymuseum.org. I hope you had a Halloween that was just spooky enough. I hope you enjoy your Dia de los Muertos. And always remember to honor your dead.